Hey, what's up, everybody? How you guys doing? Hey, we got some people in the band right in the front row. You guys sounded so good. Hey, give it up for that Appleton North Symphony. Those people, that was awesome. Yeah, give it up for also the tech people back there. Those tech guys do such a good job. Tech guys, awesome. Especially Gordon and Mr. Olson back there. Thank you, sir. You make me sound great and look great. I hate to be that guy. There's always that guy. Does anybody have a stool? I need a stool. So no rush on it. But if anybody could just be fabricating or building a stool right now, that'd be awesome. I know. I don't want to sit in the chair. It's too high. Is there a stool over there? Yeah, I know. But it's a high chair. I think I got a stool. So I know I'm a little picky. Hey, you guys look so sharp out there tonight. You guys look amazing. Yeah, I mean, it is super classy in here. If you're new tonight, I just want to tell you that we normally look awful. We normally look like we just rolled out of a boxcar. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just joking. Hey, thank you, sir. Give it up for Gordon. Thank you. Thank you, Gordon. Gordon's keeping it classy. He's got the black going on, the student ministry shirt. He knows what's up. Thank you, sir. So let's see. Where's my friend Ryan Van Hammen with the? He's got the pink bow tie. Where's that? Where's my bro? He's got this awesome. Yes, dude, stand up. Give it up for my friend Ryan. He just looks so good tonight with the. Yep. Jealous of that pink bow tie. If it's gone when you leave, it's because I stole it, but you didn't know about it. So. And then there's also a Jack something skeleton. There's a Jack Skellington. Where's Jack? Someone's like angry. Is Jack Skellington over here? Is he? Oh, he is over there. Give it up for Jack. Give it up for my friend Jack. Very scary. Where is he? No? Nobody knows where he is. Wow, that was inflammatory. There he is. Give it up. Yeah, he's back there. I'm just gonna clap into the darkness. Nice job, Jack. Oh, you guys look great. And you don't normally look awful. You just normally don't dress up. So it's so funny. We did this event last year, and I think I said this, and we have every night we have new people here visiting, which is so cool. We love visitors here, but they walk in, and they usually, if you're visiting, you didn't get the memo, you don't know anything, and all of a sudden everyone's dressed up in a three-piece tux and dresses, and I know what they're thinking. They're immediately thinking, this is why I don't go to church. This is why I never go to church, if they don't go to church, but that's what I would think if I didn't. But no, we don't normally dress up. You don't ever have to dress up here. You don't. It's totally cool. A couple quick announcements. Actually, I just have one announcement tonight. Just one announcement. So yeah, this is to stay up to date. This really is an announcement. But if you want to follow us on Instagram, and then Greenhouse 7.12 is our podcast. Everything I say is now on the internet, so you can make it go as viral as you want to do that. So hopefully that's a good thing. So, this next slide here, this is coming up next week. We did this last year. We take all of our juniors and seniors. We just get off-site here. We head down to Oshkosh, University of Wisconsin, Oshkosh, and we get to preview a Campus Crusade night. Campus Crusade is a Bible study that happens all over the country and colleges all over the world even. But we get a chance to go and be a part of theirs and see it, hang out with some college students, get to ask some questions. They're going to actually have a panel for us. I'm pretty sure there's going to be food. If there's no food, we can riot and flip cars and burn things. But I think there's going to be food there. So here's the deal. If I really want to take all of our juniors and seniors. Many of you have already filled out the release form. If you didn't, your parents are going to get an email. Many of you have already done it. Your parents have already done it. You don't even know. You've been released to be injured severely and not sue us. I hope that's not what that means. But anyway, be at the church here. Be at AAC at 6:30 because we're just going to hop on a bus. You don't. Again, if you're a new visitor, this is your first night, and you have a good experience, you're going to come back next week, you can totally just come at 6:30, hop on the bus. We're going to go down there. We're going to do basically this, only down there, and then come back. And we'll be back by a little after 9, so like 9:15. Otherwise, we're back to normal stuff. Juniors and seniors, we only do that once a year. We're back to normal weeks. Freshmen and sophomores, you guys are here, so you get to do a normal night preview, whatever that is. So juniors and seniors, could you guys do me a quick favor just to make sure this happens? If you have an iPhone, I'm going to give you about 30 seconds to do this. I want you to command Siri. yell at her into submission, that she reminds you at 5 o'clock next week on Wednesday that you need to be at the church at 6:30. So everybody can do that. Just say, Siri, remind me next Wednesday to be at the church at 5 o'clock. Or be at the, sorry, I screwed that up. 6:30, I'll stop talking. Somebody said, okay, Google. And you can take a photo of it. If you have the same Siri that I do, I have to yell at her, and I get so angry. She's the worst. Siri is trying to, actually, I think Siri is actively trying to hurt me. We good? We good? Junior and seniors? Cool. Tell everybody you know, and you can totally invite a friend, too. It's totally a normal night. It's just not here. It's down there. All right. Let's see. I think that's all my announcements. So tonight, I'm talking about this, actually, the next month. Are you guys still yelling at Siri? Is that what's going on? So if you guys are, if you guys have friends or are a friend or aspire to be a friend, this is a good month for you because we're going to talk about friendship the whole month. We're just going to talk about being a friend. Tonight's theme is friend or foe. Denise did an amazing job with her team on making these awesome friend and foe things. They do such a good job. Give it up for Denise. We're going to talk about friendship the next month. I'm going to talk about it here for the next 20 minutes or so. And then after I'm done, there's no small groups tonight, so our goal is to just let you guys hang out and catch up. We haven't been together in a month. So you guys are going to hang out. Our cafe team is incredible. They made some black and white kind of snacks and food for you guys. And we're just going to hang out. We've got an awesome photo booth over there. Enjoy the night. Just catch up. It's super chill. But I'm going to talk a little bit about friendship. Before I do, can I just pray? Can I pray for us? Is that right? Siri, can I pray? Is that right, Siri? Let me pray for us, and let's see what God does tonight, talking to us about friendship. God, we love you so much. We thank you that for music, Lord. We just thank you for music because, Lord, you've given it to us. You're so creative. You've made us so creative. So, Lord, I pray that that just continues to be something that you use to maybe connect with us or get us to reflect about you, Lord. I pray for tonight. I just pray that everybody in here walk out of here knowing that they matter to you, no matter what, no matter their background or anything, that they matter to you. In your name we pray, amen. So what I'm about to describe to you is actually only funny if you believe me that what I'm telling you is true, because this actually happened. This was a real thing. I was thinking about friendship. I was thinking about what I was speaking on about friendship. And so I did something I don't normally do. I Googled the phrase, how to make a friend. I did that. And I clicked on the very first thing that came up. Now, I'm going to walk you through what came up because it was hilarious. It was so funny. And it was so funny because, for a number of reasons, I'm not making fun of whoever did this, although I am. But here's why it's funny, is because to me, I don't know who the audience is for this. I could not figure it out because it's very adult. Like, they talk about like emotional intelligence and they talk about like really adult things. But yet there were some things they would say in their steps on how to make a friend that were so simple or weird that made me wonder if like the writer had friends when they wrote this or if they, no, I'm just kidding. But it's illustrated. That's why I clicked on it. It said, how to make a friend, and then it said, with pictures. And I was like, yes, I need to click on this. I need to see what this is going to be like. So this is it. We're going to go through it. Now, I condensed it. There are 25 steps on how to make a friend. So I kind of condensed it for you. And I'm going to read to you with the photos. I'm going to show you the photos. We're going to go through I condensed it down to 7 steps, okay? And I am not making this up. This is real. Everything is real. This is and it's trying to help people. It's on the site WikiHow. You guys ever heard of WikiHow.org? Yeah, it's a real site. This person is trying to help. And to be honest with you, just in case they ever listen to this podcast, It is actually probably very helpful to people. I just got very confused. And I'm the problem, not you. You did a great job. Whoever you did this out there, you did a phenomenal job. I just got confused. So we're not laughing at you. We're laughing at me because I'm an idiot. Okay, here we go. This is the cover. It's just weird. Okay, no, it's not. It's me. I'm weird. Okay, this is step one. Go to step one. Let's see step one here. Okay. Step one, talk to humans. Do you want to repeat it so you can write it down? I can write it. Talk, give you a second, to, if you forget, it's humans, if you forgot. This, it goes on. You can talk to anybody. You can talk to me. I'm not making this up. Even the clerk at the video store. What? Talk to humans. You can talk to anyone, including the guy at the video store. Who is the, first of all, question, yes, you in the back, what's a video store? And why does nobody talk to the guy? What kind of guy? Okay, that's a real thing. Okay, it says, don't be too picky. Most conversations will end in a dead end of sorts. Maybe speaking from experience. Okay, step two. This is step two. Here we go. Man, what do you think step two is based on that photo? What do you think is? Make eye contact. Okay. Okay. Make eye contact, and says, try not squinting, frowning, or appearing blankly deadpan. Yeah, that's, 6 feet in between there. And so this is a follow-up slide they had here. No, I added that. I did that, that was. All right, all right. This next one here, what's the next step for? Okay, use 30% of your bottom half of your face. No, it says, okay, it says make small talk. Keep 30% talking, 70% listening ratio in mind during small talk when possible. That's actually pretty good advice. But then I added this, if you have eyebrows like this guy, do this 40% of the time, 47% of the time. Do this while you talk. I added that too. That wasn't in there. Don't, if you're taking notes, don't write that in there. Unless you have eyebrows like that guy. No, I'm just kidding. Okay, what else here? Oh, and be awesome 100% of the time. Where's that next, where's step five here? Be awesome 100% of the time. I actually made that up too. I didn't make up all of this, I promise. I will tell you what parts I made up. I made up the be awesome part. That guy, the guy over there on the left, I think, is saying, dude, your head, you look like a half cow, half human in your face. But it looks great. And you're awesome. I made that up too. Okay. This step four, I don't know what step we're on. Step four, zip your face. No, it's actually, just kidding. It's be trustworthy. That's good advice. Be trustworthy. What's step five? What's step five here? Let's go to the next one. Okay. Step five is choose your friends wisely. Now, I got a couple problems with this photo. For starters, where do you get a book about friends, about a list of friends? What kind of creepy library does this guy go to? Is that at the courthouse? You have to go and get a, I'll take your list of friends. Give me the friend book. And then my next question is, why is his tongue out? Is he going to eat his friends? Is that a menu and a friends list? What the heck is going on? Okay, that is a super creep. I don't know why that is helpful. Okay, this one. This is step six. I have no idea what's happening here. This was just a photo. It said step six and then this. So I don't know what's going on. I have no idea. So I don't know what you guys think step says. I would skip that one. I would skip that step. Don't kidnap people. That's not friendship. Kidnapping is not friends. That guy is not your friend, man. I don't know. Okay, step 7. What do we got here? Step 7. Okay, this is hilarious. The actual thing was follow up. Follow up with your friends. Okay, if that's you following up with your friend, you will not have any friends. You're calling them, it looks like you're calling them with a cell phone, or maybe you're FaceTiming while you're tableting them, and then you're got your computer up. You need to chill the stink out, man. You need to just calm down. If this is what your friendships look like, they will not last long. All right. Now, this next one is actually a tip. This was actually extra. And I'm not making this up, okay? This is only funny if you believe me. I'm not making this up. This is actually a real tip. This was the next tip. Tip. You don't have to be a superstar to be fun. You don't even have to do cartwheels. You don't even have to. They threw that one in for free. That was extra. That was for free. Yes, you in the back. In order to be fun, do you have to be a superstar? No, you don't. Okay, cool. Wait, one more. In order to be fun, do I have to keep doing cartwheels? Do I have to do that? No, you don't. Okay, good. I was kind of, do people know this? I mean, you should blog about this. You should put this on the World Wide Web and tell people. I'm getting tired doing all this. Hey, be my friend. Be my friend. I'm Batman. Well, now that I've totally derailed anything productive that's going to happen tonight, that's that's real. That actually is a real tip. I am not joking you. So if you Google how to make friends and then you click on the first thing, this will come up. I've condensed it for you so you don't have to actually go through the whole thing. You guys can be great friends in 7 steps. We're going to talk about friendship tonight. I have no idea how to transition from that at all. So go with me on this. Cartwheels. Don't even. So, yeah, friendship. This is true, though. Some of this stuff is true, not the cartwheel part. Some of this is true. You're finding people who are trustworthy. You guys look for people who are friendly. They have conversations with humans. They talk to human beings. They make small talk, even if it's what did the word use? Often a dead end. I don't know what he said. But you talk to your friends. You find things that are similar. You know, you have friends who are similar to you. You get, you know, things in common. They're on your sports team, or they're in theater. They're in band. They like your kind of music. And so you make friends with these people. Or what else? How do you also make friends? They kind of affirm you. They encourage you. Maybe they like you and they want to, you know, help you in schoolwork or whatever. They really kind of want to help you on your team. And so you guys end up becoming friends, whatever it is. But friendships develop that way. That's a real thing. And just so you know, I'm a pastor, so I'm actually a pastor for high school students. So if you're new here and you're kind of new to church, actually we are really blessed as a church. We have a pastor that's just for you guys, high school. If you always want your own personal pastor, that's me. Anyway, so I work with high school students, and none of what I'm going to say tonight is going to discredit everything I just said. Friendships should form with similarities. You should make friends with people who actually you like being around. You should make friends with people who encourage you. You should make friends with people who are not like actively trying to hurt you. You know, people who are like actively like trying to hurt you, it is wise for you to kind of stay away from those people and maybe not make them your friends. Those people that are like, they want to like punch you in the face, or I don't know if you have people like that. But if you have people that want to, they're not good friends. They're trying to hurt you. They're really selfish, or they're not really, you don't get along with them because they're just kind of, they're really maybe even dangerous. You know, even scripture agrees with you on this. The Bible agrees that dangerous people that are violent or it says mockers, people who make fun of you all the time. I mean, those people are good to kind of keep your distance from. They're not good friends. So that's okay. I'm not going to get up here and like say anything about friendship that is going to discredit any of that. And so I think out of those two things, out of those two realities, people that kind of hurt us in a sense, we keep our distance from, people that want to help us become our friends. I think this formula kind of shows up in your life. As you go through life and you live enough life, you meet people, you start to realize that People who are helping you or help you or encourage you are your friend. People who hurt you are people you keep your distance from. I'm going to use the term foes here because that's just, it rhymes with, it doesn't rhyme. It kind of like sounds like friend, foe, it's kind of our theme. But maybe not good friends. So when I use that term foe, it's just not good friends. So people who are not good friends try to hurt you. That's wise. That's not unwise. But here's what I want to say. I want to suggest this is just for Christians. So if you're a Christian out there, this is for you. If you're not a Christian, this doesn't apply to you. You didn't sign up to follow Jesus, so you're off the hook. But if you're a Christian and you signed up to follow Jesus, you actually have to love people who are your foes or people who are your enemies. Jesus actually says, love your enemies. You don't get a free pass on that. You don't get to like, I like Jesus. I agree with most of his stuff, but I'm going to disagree with him on that one. I hate my enemies. You do not get a free pass there. If you've signed up to follow Jesus, if that's who you're following in life and he's come into your life and changed you and you're committed to following him, you got to love your enemies. That doesn't mean they have to be your friends. In fact, the scripture agrees with you that it's unwise to let people really close into your life who could potentially hurt you. That's not wise. That, you know, being friends with people who are violent or, you know, always making fun of you, that's not healthy. But you can love them. You can care for them. You can even pray for them. You can serve them. You can love people who you don't even know. I mean, that's the power of Jesus. When he starts to change your life, he gives you not only the command to love people, but he gives you the power to be able to love people that you otherwise would not be able to love. And that is the call of following Jesus. So when we talk about friend and foe here for the next month, just Christians, just remember, you don't get a free pass on this. You have to follow Jesus and what he says about loving your enemies. And I could do a whole sermon on why that's good, why that's healthy, why that is actually good for you. But for now, we're not going to cover that tonight. But I do want to say this. Whether you're a Christian or not, whatever your faith background is, Muslim, atheist, agnostic, whatever it is, this is true of you. This is at least true of you. This is true of all of us. At some point, our friends have hurt us in life. I mean, you live enough life, you make enough friends, you get to know people. At some point, people you care about or who assume those roles of friendship in your life, at some point, we've been hurt by our friends. So the question becomes this, then, if that's true, you know, if at some point you were close with somebody and then they said something or did something and hurt, and maybe even some of you have had this experience where you've been hurt so bad by your friend, you even questioned if they were ever really your friend in the first place. If that's ever happened to you, if that's true, we got to ask a question. We have to ask the question, does it hold up? The friends help me and foes hurt me. Is that complete? Is it incomplete? Because our friends, clearly, we've been there. They do hurt us. So were they never our friend in the first place? Or a better question is this. Go back to that last slide there. Does being a good friend ever involve hurting another friend? Is that ever a part of friendship? And that's what we have to deal with tonight. That's the question we need to unpack here. And to do that tonight, I want to hang out in probably one of my favorite books. If you've never read the Bible before, if you don't follow Jesus, you don't believe in Jesus, this is good news because Jesus isn't mentioned by name in this book. The book of Proverbs, it is just great nuggets of common sense and wisdom. There's definitely some discussion there about God, but actually a lot of it is just wisdom about how to live life, great common sense. And most of the text is actually kind of reads like a Twitter account. I like to think of it as kind of God's Twitter account. It is like a one-liner that's like a great piece of wisdom and advice, and the next thing is just a whole nother one too, so you can read it fast or read it real easily. And it's actually a great place to start. If you've never read the Bible before, if you've never picked it up and you need something that you actually want to read and then go and apply and see if it changes the way you live, I would start with Proverbs. It was written by a guy named Solomon, and actually Solomon is not just some guy the Bible made up. In fact, I want to show you, this is Josephus here. Josephus is a Roman historian. He's not in the Bible. He's not mentioned in the Bible. In fact, he's not even a part of what he's going to write here is not even a part of the Bible. But this is a quote from Josephus about Solomon. This is what he has to say about Solomon. Accordingly, there went a great fame around all the neighboring countries which proclaimed the virtue and wisdom of Solomon. And this is a historian writing for the Roman Empire here. Insomuch that the kings everywhere were desirous to see him as not giving credit to what was reported on account of it being almost incredible. He goes on, he says, they also demonstrated their regard for him, Solomon, by the presents they made for him. They sent him vessels of gold and silver and purple garments and many sorts of spices and horses and chariots and as many mules for his carriages as they could find proper to please the king's eyes by their strength and beauty. So people were coming from all over this region of the world at this time to not only get to hear his wisdom, Solomon's wisdom, but they were wanting to give him so many gifts and honor him. He was super wealthy. In fact, a guy did a study on just how much wealth the nation of Israel and Solomon personally had during his reign of ruling over Israel. And it was in the trillions of dollars, comparatively, in the trillions of dollars. And trillions of dollars today is a lot, but trillions of dollars back then, comparatively with people that had absolutely nothing in like third world conditions, is absolutely inconceivable. In fact, they say on average, there was about $1 billion, if you were gonna do it in American dollars, of supplies and gifts coming in just from surrounding countries. Solomon was a huge deal. He had and this is, again, you can find this in your AP World Lit. This isn't just a Bible story. This is an actual story in history, and that is a historian talking about it. You have to believe, he probably had a ton of friends. I mean, this is a guy who probably everybody wanted to be his friend. It's kind of funny because I imagine, like, everybody laughing at his jokes because you know how, like, rich people, everybody thinks are hilarious because everybody wants some of their money, so they laugh at everything they say. So he tells a joke that was not funny at all, and everybody goes, Solomon, that's hilarious. But I don't know, I just picture that in my head. But he was the guy that everybody wanted to be friends with, not only in the surrounding countries, but in his own kingdom. I mean, Solomon was the guy, probably the most successful leader of Israel in history. So this is what he writes about friendship. This is what he writes. So let's read what he writes. This is Proverbs 27. He says this, he says, faithful are the wounds of a friend. But the kisses of an enemy are lavish or many, and they are deceitful. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are lavish and deceitful. This is a guy who probably had a lot of people wanting to be his friend. And he's probably had a lot of wisdom dealing with that. He's a successful leader, wisest man in history, according to the Bible. But even if you don't believe that, super successful. So this is what he writes. I want to tell you a story. I actually went to college to run track. In fact, as shallow of a reason as this is, God used it. But it was, if you're like sitting there deciding, what college am I supposed to go to? I had made a really shallow decision on that. I was between Taylor University or Indiana Wesleyan University, and I wanted to do a sport there, so I chose Indiana Wesleyan because their colors were red and white. That is, I know, you're like, wow, this guy is so, that is it. The Taylor's was purple, and which is cool, nothing gets purple, symbol of royalty, I get it. I was going for red and white. That is how I made my decision. I know, guys, this is what you're dealing with. But I went there to go run track, and I went there on a track scholarship, and so one of the things that we did, we had the best 400 meter relay team in the conference, frankly in the country, for our national division, and so we were all Americans, we were great. I still have the school record. I know it's kind of, I just have to throw that in there, but. We worked really hard, and a part of running and getting really good at long sprints is you have to do a lot of sprints very often, long sprints, very hard, very fast. And so every Monday and every Wednesday, I would get this pit in my stomach that was just, it was nausea. It was just, I'm so nervous because I know my coach is going to try to kill us. He tries to kill us. In fact, I think. If one of us were to drop dead and just turn blue and die, he would cheer. He would be so happy. I think. I don't know. We've never happened. But I have this feeling he would, because he would make us run these sprints, these workouts that were so killer. And we'd be dying, we'd be falling over, puking, he'd, you know, pick us up and throw us, we'd have to do another set and harder and faster. And it was like, this is brutal. And every Monday and every Wednesday, he would just kill us like that. It was awful. And my legs would burn so much. I just remember just being on fire, and they were just hurting and swollen, and it was just awful. But I talked to, as I went afterwards, but afterwards, I would go to the ice bath, and I'd sit in the ice bath and ice my legs, and I would talk to our trainers who were studying physical science. And one day I was talking to them, and they said this. They explained to me what was going on when my legs are burning. When your legs are burning like that, when you're working out or lifting weights, and that you get that burning feeling, and even just that pain, what's really going on in your muscle tissue is, I don't know if you know this, you're putting micro tears into your muscle. I mean, your muscle's actually breaking and tearing to a point. These little tiny tears everywhere. And what's happening is that's that burning feeling, that's that pain that you feel in your muscle, that's that soreness that you have the next day. And what happens is, as your body repairs those tears, those micro tears, that's how you actually build muscle. That's actually how it grows. It's almost like, it's kind of like scar tissue, but not really. But that's how it gets bigger. It swells up because it's torn and it comes back and it builds and builds and builds. And that's how your body actually builds muscle. And that's actually how you get stronger. It's actually how you get faster if you're a runner. And it's how you get better. You see, when your friends, when they hurt you, there's two different ways that they'll hurt you. It's just life. You guys know this. I'm not telling you anything new. The first way how a friend will hurt you is, this is what they'll do. They'll hurt you because they're imperfect people who make mistakes. This is just part of life. Welcome to humanity. Your friends are human too, unless it's not a human, unless it's like a cat or something. If your friend's a cat too, that's fine. But I'm just telling you, humans, if you're friends with a human, they're going to make mistakes. And they're going to hurt you. And that's a part of being human. In that case, you'll probably forgive them. You know they love you. You know they love you. They know they care about you. It was a fit of rage. It was emotion. It was just something that came out. It came out the wrong way. They were upset. They had a bad week. Whatever. It was a miscommunication. Whatever. You get over that. That happens, though, right? I mean, those kind of hurt happens. The second kind of hurt is this. They're true friends, who want to confront us when we need to grow. This is another kind of hurt. You see, at one point when I was a junior in college and I was running, I began to feel just my whole leg were always burning. Monday and Wednesday, they were always burning. But at some point, I remember this part of my leg burning a lot more. I mean, I just remember feeling like a lot more heat right here. It was just hot. It was burning really bad. My calves were really hurting. This area kind of around my shin bone was hurting. And I just remember this kind of getting worse and worse and worse. And I remember not really being able to tell the difference at first. Is this just me really pushing this leg really hard, or what's going on? And I ended up going in for x-rays, and I ended up getting some stuff checked out. And what I found is I'd actually broken my leg. You can actually, it's called shin splint. Some of you have dealt with this. It's not terribly uncommon. But if you run hard enough and you run long enough, you can. What happens is the calf muscle tears away from the bone, and the bone's kind of getting shocked a lot. There's some rubbing with a tendon there, and you end up kind of shredding the tendon. You end up, your bone starts to rattle a lot while you're running. Your muscle doesn't absorb the strike of your foot, and that bone starts to break. And I actually broke my legs running. As weird as that sounds, I actually ran till my legs broke, and a little hairline fracture. It wasn't like it didn't like pop out of my leg or anything. Wasn't like, I don't have like a photo. If you guys are like, let's see the photo. No, it didn't. It wasn't that bad. But I broke my leg. And I'll tell you this. I couldn't tell the difference between the pain of the shin splints and the burning of my legs in general from the micro tears and the building getting stronger until time went by, until I was patient. Until I asked around, until I got some advice from other people around me who care about me, who want to help with this issue, until I started asking around. This is the reality, is that people will hurt you, your friends will hurt you. And sometimes the difference isn't going to be the way you feel. You're going to feel just as angry and hurt sometimes when they confront you on an area that you need to grow. And you're also going to feel hurt when there's times when they just, in a you know, a fit of rage or something, they emotional, they just say something that hurts you. You will hurt in both instances. The difference is that the kind of hurt that's trying to help you grow over some time and some advice from people around you to also speak into whatever it is they're confronting you on, it will help you grow. And not only that, but you will know, and there's a point, you got to discern this, and the wisdom is huge on this, the wisdom to discern, am I upset and angry because they're confronting me on something that just is hard for me to hear? Or they really hurt me? The wisdom to know the difference is huge. That is something you will want your whole life to be trying to discern and trying to navigate and trying to get advice on. Because here's why, and this is, I'm going to end with this here. This is what I want you guys to walk away with. Is here's what's at stake. If you don't get this formula right, the new formula is this. Let me just give it to you. The new formula is this. Real friends are helpful even when it hurts. And foes or people are just not good friends. Not good friends are harmful even when it feels helpful. And I say that because of what Solomon wrote. That this is one of two things will happen. There's two people in the room right now. One of you have gone through this before where you've gone through friend after friend after friend after friend because you've gravitated to and made friends with and thought that people who were actually your foes or just, I'm going to use the word, not good friends, you thought they were because they made you feel good. They affirmed you. You know, the Solomon uses the metaphor, showers you with kisses. Maybe it was actually real kisses. I don't know. Maybe it was a boyfriend or girlfriend. But you've gone from these relationships, these friendships to friendship to friendship to friendship. And you realize, you look back on them and you're wondering, what's going on? Why are my friendships falling apart? Is it possible that you're making friends with people because they're not really for you? They're not really behind you trying to help you grow. They just shower you with kisses, they just affirm you, but really they're just not good friends. Because this is the truth. This is why this matters. Because it is hard enough to know that somebody out there doesn't like you or is kind of a bad friend or an enemy of yours or a foe, whatever. That's tough. Or maybe just even not a good friend. But they're not a big deal because they're not your friend when they're just out there. You know, like if it's just somebody out there, you know, boy, that person's not a good friend. But you really don't care that much because they're not your friend. You know what's really hard? Is when somebody you think is your friend turns out to really not be a good friend. That hurts. I know for some of you guys this is tender. I'm not making light of this stuff at all. I want to just honor the fact that some of you have gone through some really tough stuff because you made friends with somebody who's just they're not a good friend, or you've gone from relationship to relationship to relationship, and you realize that maybe the lights are coming on right now, that you're going, yeah, you know, I just, people that affirm me, tell me I'm great, shower me, tell me I'm awesome, make me feel good. They're not really for me. And they're just not good friends. But this is the other thing that can happen. There's a second type of person in the room. This is the other thing that can happen. Is you'll push away true friends. You'll make good friends or get close to bad friends is what that should say. But you're going to push away some good friends. And to be honest with you, I would say the second one is worse. Because the pain of being confronted by these good friends who are really trying to help you, and they're calling some out in your life, or they're putting their finger on something in your life that that's hard to hear, but you need to hear it. The pain of that moment is infinitely less than the pain of looking back on your life, or ignoring the warning, or refusing to change, or dealing with the same problem over and over again, or not ever finding those real friends because you ignore the ones who are real friends. The pain of that over a long period of time, or even the pain of looking back when now it's too late and they've been warning you and you've had friends trying to warn you and you blew them off, the pain of that is infinitely less than the pain and the awkwardness of that moment when that person confronts you. I mean, infinitely more. It's infinitely more worse, that kind of pain. The pain of looking back on regret and knowing you were warned, knowing some people tried to help with this and call this out, is so much greater than the awkwardness of being told something that's hard to hear in the moment. You see, some of you have gone from friendship to friendship to friendship, and you've resisted that. You've been friends with them, and the moment they call some out, the moment they put their they're trying to tell you something that's hard to hear, you categorize that. You use that old formula of my friends help me, my foes hurt me, this person just hurt me, hey, haters gonna hate, whatever. Whatever. Here's why this is, and this is the last thing I'm going to say, and then we're done, then we're going to hang out, and I hope to meet all of you guys, especially if you're new, and high-five all the band and everything. This is why this is important. You see, if within your framework and your formula for friendship does not leave room for friends that even when it's hard for you to hear it, they're going to tell you, even if it hurts. They're trying to be helpful to you, even if it hurts. If there's not room in your framework for that, it's going to be very hard for you to be friends with God. You see, Jesus, I don't know wherever you're at with God, and wherever if you're working that out, that's totally great, wherever you're at. But I want to just talk to you. Jesus, when he talks about God, Jesus himself, always accused of being a friend of sinner, a friend of sinners, which is me and us, imperfect people. In fact, he came so that we might become friends with God, that we might actually, because of his sacrifice on that cross, we can have a right relationship with God, and not just like God like clears us of, you know, any kind of sin or whatever and you're good to go. No, way more than that, that we might actually become friends with him, that we can actually, here, this is crazy, start to like sense his leadership in our lives and see the world through his eyes and see him at work in our lives and actually experience a real relationship with God, that it's a friendship, that is a part of what, yes, he's our Lord and we're following him, he's leading our life, but boy, it's all out of a friendship. That is a very real thing that Jesus came to establish. And if within your framework of friendship, there is no room for friends to love you even when it hurts, even when they tell you something hard, do something hard, it will be difficult for you to be friends with God, you see, because at the core of who God is, at his heart for you is that you grow and that you become the best person that you've always wanted to be and that you could not be on your own. He wants all of that for you, and his love for you is so huge that he's willing to love you, even if it means doing some hard stuff in your life. There has to be room in your definition of friendship for friends to help you even when it hurts you. Let's pray. God, I just hope that everybody in this room just know how much you love them some way, maybe in their own language, Lord, whether it's just the way they see the world or and something you might be doing in their life, in their home or at school or some circumstances or just something they're feeling right now. God, I just pray that they know you're real and that they know you love them, that you are for them, not against them. And Lord, I pray for the people that just need to hear that tonight, that just hit home somehow, that they hear that from you. God, I pray that we would lean into our friends even when it hurts, and you would give us an extra dose of wisdom, Lord, to know the difference, to be patient over time, to see, is this growing, is this hurting? Lord, give us the people in our lives to come in to help us and speak into these parts of our lives, and give us the people that we can kind of compare notes to, God, about maybe the things that our friends are saying or talking to us about. God, just give us an extra dose of wisdom on this tonight, and especially as we walk into this month on friendship. God, I just pray we have a great night tonight. I pray we just hang out and catch up. I pray that we, Lord, I just pray that we can cheer very hard for the Packers on Sunday. We know you love them, Lord, and we lift all this up to you. In your name we pray. Amen.